Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me today, and we are welcoming back to the show one of our favorite guests. Welcome back, Carol Ferguson. Welcome back, Carol.
Hi.
Woohoo!
Thanks for having me.
Should I bust out the bubbles?
What bubbles?
Kyle has bubbles
because
he's in a fun mood today, so he's going to bust them out.
No.
Maybe I'll save it for later. I'm making the tease because now Carol's looking at my bubble container here.
They can't see the bubbles. What's
all right? So we're back off a little brief hiatus because I had jury duty last week.
You didn't get picked.
No, I didn't get picked.
Darn.
I semi wanted to, but semi didn't want to. But I actually enjoy jury duty. Yeah. But it was a good experience. It was actually jury appreciation week last week in Orange County. So I left my jury duty with a little bit of a swag bag and stuff. So
nice.
If there's a week to serve, it was last week. And to get off, it was last week also. So it was a good experience.
Win-win.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
So we are here with Carol because Kyle said Carol would be a good person to bring on for this episode as we're recapping Pastor Barry's most recent episode, or not episode, sermon.
Sermon.
Because we're on this sermon series. It's a Bring a Friend sermon series talking about heaven. So Pastor Barry gave a sermon on heaven, and we thought, who better to talk to about heaven than Carol? So I thought,
because you ask good questions, and you have lots of questions. So that's why I thought, well, I think a lot of people have questions as well. So let's bring Carol in and see what kind of questions she has.
Because I was your friend, and it says bring a friend, and so that's why I'm on the podcast.
Well, you are a friend, and actually, you know, after our last time we recorded, we said, next time Carol comes, we need to go get lunch. So we actually carved out time because we just wanted to go eat lunch with you. So really, this was an excuse to have lunch with
there
Carol. So that's why we asked her to come on the podcast. So
are we going to go to the noodle place or where are we going?
Oh, I don't know. That's for an off-air discussion. So secret.
But really, it was just so that we can have lunch with her. So we invite her on the podcast just so we can make her pay for lunch for us.
Of course. That's fine.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part. Even better.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on Social Security. That's okay. Take it before, you know, Trump dumps it or something.
I didn't know that either. I just wanted to see how she'd respond when I said that.
That's fine. I could take you. I said I would take you guys out the last time you ditched
me.
You ditched me.
In that case, where are we going?
Well, we are talking about heaven, so we got to go somewhere good. Okay, so Carol came on. She actually sent us a few questions, and they're a little bit spicy. So why don't we get started? Carol, why don't you ask us our first question? We're not going to necessarily answer the questions. I want to give that little disclaimer. We're not necessarily going to answer the questions, but we'll discuss the questions.
True.
Okay.
Hopefully some.
Because some of them might be a little bit hard to give a final answer on. Yeah. So we'll discuss them and talk about them.
Okay, so Pastor Barry, you know, you talked about heaven, and I think most Christians or people in general have an idea what heaven is like and stuff. So, but what, you know, it's to me, it's always about the pearly gates, and you go in the pearly gates and, you know, whether you have your wings or not, I don't know where that comes from, but, and everything's all good and hunky-dory. All your sins are gone, but there's more to that. According to Revelations, there's more to that. There's, you know, he talked about the first heaven and earth, and then there's a second, and then there's going to be a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and earth. And so that just got me thinking. And one of the questions when I was listening to Pastor Barry is, and then it actually came up when I was in Bible studies, is what happens if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus? You're not a Christian. Say a friend or family that you really, you know, close to. Then what happens to them? They don't go. They don't get to go.
Yeah, if that's what
so
the Bible
how
says.
Would you, yeah. How would you, how, so how would you approach them? How would you tell them? I mean, whether they're, okay, so if they're someone like their parents are alive, you could go and you know, tell them about Jesus. But what happens if they're dead already? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, well, you're going to go to heaven, but your parents are going to, or your whoever it's going to be in hell.
Right. Well, we don't know what decisions they made in their life, and we don't know what was presented to them, like, and how it was presented. And my understanding is that everybody has an opportunity to receive
Christ.
Yeah,
but if they don't accept it.
Yeah.
And it has to be.
Right. So.
In truth, in your heart, you, because there's going to be judgment when you go to heaven.
So the cold heart thing is like, yeah, they're not going to be there, right?
Yeah.
But then. So I heard Pastor Barry talk about this one time, and it really stuck with me the way he described it. The way he described it was if we are in heaven, when we're there, we're going to understand his judgment, and it's going to make total sense, whether who is there and who's not there. And there's not going to be like, oh, you got that one wrong, they should be here, or why aren't they here? We're going to understand that the way he judges or does judge, that it's going to be totally fair and it's going to be just. And
but the judgment isn't on the people who didn't accept. The judgment is on you, on what your deeds that you did not deeds that.
No, there's a judgment on everybody, whether you accepted Christ or not. That's the first judgment. That are they going to be found?
Yeah, but the first one is what? I mean, do you believe or not? If right. you don't believe, then you know that's the dividing rod right there, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but your question is, how would you talk to somebody about yes. it, right? So,
Damon, you're awfully quiet and just talking between Kyle and me.
I'm listening to your conversation.
Oh, okay. But then.
So to me, okay. So let's say it's to a friend of mine, and he's asking me, like, well, I'm a believer, but my parents aren't, mm-hmm. and they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to them? Like, where are they? And is it fair? Is it just, how can that be? Like, why does that happen? The way Pastor Barry answered it is, we don't understand it. I don't know if there's a way to put words to it, but when we're face to face with Christ and we see how things settled out of who's there, who's not, and even if we understand why or why not, we're going to understand it as that's totally just and it's totally fair. Whether it in our earthly sense right now, it's like, well, that's, like, how can that be? That kind of sucks. Like, some right. people aren't going to be there. But with God's fullness of his justice, his love, his mercy, his grace, all of that together, it's going to make sense of, oh, I see how this came about, and I see why he, you know, laid it out this way and why the decision was made this way. And whether it's somebody that's a relative of mine or it's one of yours that you had a question about, that, no, when we're there face to face with the Lord, it's going to make sense, and we're going to not regret why he kept somebody out. It's going to make total sense.
So that's what you would tell the person who's wondering why? It's, well, okay, so, well, I'll give a thing. I have a friend in Bible study, and she was all tearful that her mom didn't believe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's asking the question in class.
Right.
What happens to her? Well, the Bible, if you don't believe, you're going to hell.
Right.
So now she's like, she seems like she's so sad or panicking. Like, no, I don't want her to go to hell.
Right.
But then you have it in black and white in the Bible. Or give me a scripture where it says. This is unfair for you guys because I that would say, hey, you know, you know, there's second chances. I mean, there is second chances if you read Revelations, because then they go into, you know, they have the they have all the sinners. And then Jesus gives them another chance. I mean, God gives them another chance, and then they don't, and then they're gone. So I mean, maybe that's what you're talking about, or that's what he's talking about?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
Damon, why don't you jump in first, and then...
I'm trying to formulate what I want to say. Okay, so there's a few different questions that were asked in this whole this conversation so far. One of them was, like, how do you approach someone? And I think, actually, that's where the video that Pastor Barry showed at the beginning is an interesting way to get people to think. Because it's comedy, right? So in this video that Pastor Barry showed on Sunday, and he showed it at Easter also, it's a comedian, and he's basically just asking people questions, right? And he says, so, you know, in your life, there's... basically two questions. Are you healthy or are you not healthy, right? And so if you're healthy, then everything's okay. If you're not healthy, then you have
two questions,
right? And it's like, are you going to live? Are you going to die? And then if you're going to live, then you're okay. If you're going to die, then you got two questions, right? And so it kind of goes down this line, but really it's a comedic way to get people to start thinking, right? Because one of the things that we recognize with the Bible is that the Bible, as a believer, we believe that the Bible is truth. Right. And so whether someone believes it or not, whether someone agrees with it or not, we believe that the Bible is true. And so when you ask those types of questions, you get them to start thinking about, well, even if I don't believe it or even if I don't agree with it, if that's true, then I need to figure it out. Right. And so when he gets to the point where it's like, if you die, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? It's like, okay, well, if you don't believe in heaven or hell, does that change what's going to happen to you, right? And that, well, if it's true, then it doesn't change. If it's not true, then, oh, well, like it's not a big deal. You're just dead, right?
Yeah.
But if there is truth to what happens to you after you die, then it's something that you need to think about, right? And so that's also where even thinking about when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God said, you're going to, you know, he limited their life so that they couldn't live forever. That's where we could say, well, that's actually a grace, because then it gives them a time period where they have to make a choice. Otherwise, they're just going to continue in their sin for eternity, right? And so him actually limiting the amount of our life, it's actually a grace, because it gives us an urgency to make some of these decisions and to think about some of these things, right? So that we don't end up living apart from God in our sin for eternity, right? And really, that's what the picture of hell is our picture of hell is your separation from God.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think when Kyle's talking about justice and God's love and things like that, it's really when we die, it's really an extension of our choices. And it's like God's not going to force someone that doesn't want to be with him to be with him.
Yes.
Right? And so if you choose not to be with him, or if you don't want to be with him, why is he going to say, okay, now that you're dead, you have to be with me, right? But that's what we're saying is heaven. Heaven is where God is, right? And so if that person doesn't want to be with God, why is God going to force him to be with him?
Right.
And so if he's going to say, I don't want to be with God, well, then that's what our picture of hell is.
Right.
And so when Jesus was on earth and he's saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's saying, I'm bringing God's presence to the earth, right?
Right.
In himself. That's why he's there. He's here to bring himself to the world. He's also ushering in this new season, right? When he dies and then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells among us, right? It's this heaven coming to earth, right? And so really that's our picture of heaven, is this place where God meets us and we meet with God, right? And there's this intimacy with God. And God is a loving God, so he's not going to force people to love him, because that's not really love.
Right.
If you're forced to love him, then that's not really love.
But how do you explain that? How would you explain that to someone who isn't a Christian?
And I think that's where the direction of us as a church, talking about being a city on a hill, that's where I think that's a big thing.
Mm.
Because it's in our lifestyle and in the way that we interact with each other, the way that we live our lives, that people will notice, like, there's something different between you and the rest of the world, right? And so then when they start to ask, like, what is this that's different about you than what's going on in the rest of the world? What is it that's different?
Right.
And then you can explain, like, this is what's different. Really, I have this relationship with God, and that's available to you too, right? And so then really it's this turning of their heart to say, no, I want what you have. I want that relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And really that's introducing them to heaven.
Right. So, But Catalyst is just a small church. We seems like we need to expand. Anyways, yeah, no, that was really good.
I agree.
I totally agree with you. That's all you have to, because right, you cannot force someone to believe in Jesus, and because, besides, you have to have transformation and all that stuff to really embrace, you know, God's goodness and mercy. I think because he just transforms the way you think and mm-hmm. the way and how I live in this world and mm-hmm. how I see this world.
And I think this is also why, like, when we talk about it or we're talking about it right now, it's about like relationship with the Lord and wanting to be with Him.
Right.
Because, you know, that's where this Matthew 7 verses keep coming back to mind, right? And so in Matthew 7, right, Jesus is saying, you know, someday you will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these great things in your name? And then he says, get away from me. I never knew you. Right. And so it's like all these people that were doing things for God or doing things. But he's saying, where was our relationship? I didn't know you. You didn't actually know me. It's you're doing these things to check these boxes off. Right. And so it's not to be in relationship with him. It's just to get the check marks.
Damon, that's really good. Okay, can I go on my second question? Am I done?
Or does Kyle have anything you want to pitch in?
Well, there's just a lot of questions there. I mean, I think when you were saying how do you approach somebody who doesn't even believe in God, I think, and talk to them about heaven, or it just depends on what angle they're coming from, because your response is could vary quite a bit based on that. But I think the biggest thing is that they have the choice. Like, God's already chosen them, but he's waiting for them do they want to reciprocate and choose him.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, he's exclusive and he chooses certain people and he doesn't choose other people. So I think that's a big part that they think it might be exclusive, okay. Where I'm not invited. Where okay. I think that's a big part.
Okay. Well, I see so much. When I was talking to this person, I saw so much anguish in her face mm-hmm. that her mom didn't believe and she still wanted her mom to believe. And I think she was a Buddhist, her mom. And so it's like, well, she's a Buddhist, so she's going to go the Buddhist way. She's not going to go the Christian, God's way. So that's her belief. And then, what you believe.
I think part of your question, too, is like, are you just trying to make her feel better? Are you trying to answer the question to make her feel better because of the emotions and there's anguish and because then you can.
Oh,
you
can, yeah. You know, that could be.
It's hard because the emotions are still going to be there regardless because of people's choices that maybe aren't good or weren't the best for them. But that's why I think the answering it with the emotions in our flesh now don't make sense. And there's anguish. There's all these things that are very hurtful and negative. But when we're face to face with God, we'll understand and it'll make sense of like, okay, maybe even like, I wish they were here, but I understand. And I fully agree with you the way you've handled it.
Right.
That's kind of the way Barry approached it. And it's like, it doesn't make them feel necessarily all the way better right now because it's still, there's unknown. And in our mind, I think in our limitations that we have with understanding God, it still doesn't make sense. Well, why doesn't everybody get to be with you? There's these things that make sense for us in our flesh that without God's fullness that we just can't comprehend.
Yeah, I get that. But when we read it in the Bible, it seems pretty black and white to me. But, you know, that's how I think.
No, it is. But I'm not saying it's the black and white part, but it's how that affects our emotions and how we handle it and process it.
Right.
That's the part that we're limited on how we can grasp and understand the fullness of how God operates and how he makes his decisions on tough things like that.
Okay. So can I go on to the second question?
I have one more thing I wanted to pitch in.
This first one was a doozy, so.
What?
So in talking about being in relationship with the Lord, I think that's a big thing to answer your question, actually, is that when it comes to some of these topics and how to talk to other people about it, if we're living in relationship with the Lord, he'll tell us how to approach it, or he'll give opportunities and show us how to step into those opportunities to talk about it. So I think that's one of the things to think about. It's not just how am I going to pre-plan what I'm going to say to someone. It's am I seeking the Lord for how to reach out to this person or how to talk to them? Because it's concerning, right? So if someone is in that situation where they're, you know, like your friend who's in kind of in anguish about it, I think that's where we kind of tend to think, how am I going to talk to her about it? But
how can I reason it?
But sometimes it's really just like, Lord, what do you want to say to her in this moment?
Yeah, I guess, right? I guess that's, I should, well, you know me, if you know me, I was just, well, you know, she doesn't believe, so, and if she's dead, then, and if she's, you know, Buddhist or something else, then she's with her, you know, with her, whatever she believed in, and then, but I guess I should have went, I don't know, it's like, to comfort her, it's like, well, there's nothing you could do about it now. So, I mean, you know, it's like, that's you know, it's nothing you could do about it now. I mean, if you were, I don't even know if you were even Catholic, you could pray for this person, but, you know, I don't mean.
Well, but at the same time, there's probably other people in that person's life, in your life, in my life, that kind of situation would be like, oh, am I doing what I'm supposed to at least give them the right opportunity? And have I done that enough? You know, so that way it's like, you know, I asked them repeatedly and they kept turning it down versus like, oh shoot, I never did that once.
Right. Or they prayed for them and all that stuff and they didn't want to become a Christian. And I get all that and they, you know, and it's a struggle, but still it's like, well, they didn't want to. So, you know, our belief is they're going to go to hell.
That's kind of Damon's statement at the beginning of like, they chose that they didn't
want to be
around God or be connected with God. Yeah. So they made a choice, you know.
Yeah. It's like I wish there was a better way to answer. So I kind of go on my second question. Or you want
to
finish?
If you're ready to move on to your next question.
This is because we could probably talk about this, and then, you probably. Know, I wanna live in my time. I don't want to be an hour.
Well, we're at like 20 minutes on the first question, so we're in for a 2-hour episode.
I think she said she's getting hungry. So
yeah, I didn't really eat breakfast. Okay, so we're talking about heaven.
Yes, we are talking about heaven.
And then we're talking about our friends. Okay, you all know I have a fur baby, Jordan. Mm. Now, animals go to heaven.
That's what Pastor Barry said on Sunday.
Right? He did. And then. What? No. Okay. I got Jeremy.
Go ahead.
I mean, Jeremy. Sorry, Jeremy. Isaiah 11:6-9. This is the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat. So that could only happen in heaven, right?
But what's your question? Because
are you asking if your specific animal will be there, or if there will be
animals in general? No,
yes, because Jordan is a Christian.
So that's where I think that's where you could take the scripture and you could interpret it the way you want to. Versus I think it points to there's being animals in heaven on the new earth, the new heaven. But does your pet? Does everybody's pet? That I don't think there's any. I haven't seen any scriptures that said my pet will be there.
Well,
I think
of course they're not. So back in the time of John and Paul and whoever. Matthew, did they have pets? No, they didn't have pets.
Why not?
They like we have pets.
I don't know. I mean,
the shepherd had
a favorite sheep.
Yeah, but they're gonna eat them later. Come on, I mean.
Okay, but so how does that? So you're taking your own experience of your pet and overlaying it then onto the scripture. So like you want your pet to be there? Is that what you're implying?
Well, I just want to make sure.
This was not one of the questions that you sent us beforehand.
No, okay, so well, I think part of it goes to then do pets have souls and spirits and all that? So I mean, you're going down a an area that I don't know a lot of answers to, but I have more questions than answers,
didn't,
probably.
Didn't I give you that question?
The pets one was not one of the questions that you asked.
Well, maybe that's something Pastor Barry can clarify. Oh, no, Pastor Barry said there's going to be animals.
Yeah, but he said animals. He didn't say your animal is going to be there. He said there's going to be animals. So
Jordan's an animal.
I know, but he didn't say Jordan's going to be there. He said animals are going to be there. That's the part where I think people take scripture and then they fit it to what they want, right?
Agenda.
So, possible, but I mean, are you talking like Disney all dogs go to heaven type of scenario? Like we want all of specific animals there, or is it just there's going to be animals, cuz that's the way he intended creation to be, in the garden there was animals and all that. So then we're not going to go down that. That's a whole other topic. But that's different than saying, my favorite dog from when I was a kid that got hit by a car that I never got to say goodbye to is going to be in heaven. I don't know. I can't say no for sure, but I can't say yes because it doesn't specifically mention that.
Does anybody have any scriptures out there in podcast land that...
Okay, so if you do find a scripture about your... personal pets being in heaven, send it to us and we will air it on the podcast and we'll answer Carol's question with actual scripture. But I also think, too, one of the things for us to think about is there are certain attachments that we have to materials or things or animals that are unhealthy or to the point of being sinful and idolatrous. And so when we get to heaven, some of those things will... our relationship to them will be different, will be very different, right? And so we might have a connection with a specific animal or item or thing, right? That's where, in other cultures, when they would bury their people, they'd have items or specific things that were dear to them, thinking that they'll be able to take them into the afterlife with them, right? But in heaven, when sin is erased and gotten rid of, right, our attachments will be the ways that they were supposed to be at creation before sin entered the world. And so not saying that there's going to be your specific or not, I don't know, but I think our relationship with animals and things in heaven will be the way that they were intended to be. And there won't be unhealthy attachments to them in the way that I'm not saying you have an unhealthy attachment to Jordan. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that our relationships that we see with people, with things, with items, with animals that we have today, it's a glimpse of what it's going to look like in heaven, but it's not going to be exactly the same because there are sinful things that get in the way of our relationships with them right now that will be done away with when we get to heaven. And so we will actually experience what relationships with those things we're supposed to be like in the pure way in heaven. So it will be different. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying yours is bad.
I'm just going to pray and then let God just let me have Jordan by my side when I'm in heaven.
Okay, this isn't something to be answered. This is something for you to take with you.
Okay.
Is in heaven, we're going to be feasting, right? There's going to be food and eating and drinking. Is it going to be a vegetarian diet or not? Because if it's not, then there's going to be animals there, but then some of those animals are going to be part of the meal if that's the way it's supposed to be intended, right? So,
whatever God's going to feed us, it's going to taste good. It's going to be good. It's going to nourish us. Mm-hmm. The animals are going to eat it too. They're going to enjoy it too. Jordy will eat anything.
So there's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, I know.
Because if this happens, then that means this and this and this. But then
why do the Catholics have that blessing of the animal thingy?
This was not on your list of questions, so I didn't research this. And for answers on Catholic faith, I would need to do some research.
Okay. So let's go on to the next question. We kind of went on it. So question 3. It's about the judgment. So that, it's in Revelations that it says God is going to, so when you die, and then I don't know if it's the, whatever, when you die, because there's going to be a first heaven, the first time when you die, God's going to judge you, and then there's going to be a period where there's going to be the second.
The new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah, and then there's going to be another...
with the new Jerusalem.
A resurrection. Waiting for Jesus to come back. So we're all waiting.
That's with our resurrected body. So there's a time in between.
Is that all part of waiting, all part of being in heaven? Revelations kind of thing? Is that all part of it? Because that's what it sounds like. It's... Damon, I gave you that question.
Keep going. It didn't sound like you're done answering or asking your question.
But there, no. Oh, what? Oh, shoot. I forgot what it was. But, yeah, but there's going to be judgment.
Yes.
But he didn't. But Pastor Barry didn't mention that. I think that was my question. It's like, when we go, but then I'm thinking, well, he's just kind of. It's a random talk about heaven, and
it's a two-part series, so you can only go so deep.
Is he going to talk about Revelations? And because Revelations is a little bit deeper and scarier. And
I think, well, so remember, this is a bring a friend series. It's supposed to be something to spark interest, curiosity. Oh, I've never thought of heaven like this. I've never thought of God like that. So it's not necessarily like a deep dive where we're going to cover everything. So I don't.
And he's not trying to scare people into the faith either.
But we touched on some of this in the Awe of God series, right? The judgment, rewards, and things like that. We talked a little bit of that, or that came up in that series. So I don't know. My guess is he's probably not going to go that deep. If he does mention it, it's probably not going to. He might mention it, but not go deep into what it looks like. So we can talk about it and see. What's your question about it then?
Well, no, I was just curious because he didn't mention it. But then when I'm thinking about Revelations, Revelation kind of goes into, okay, so this is the heaven and this is what's going to happen. You know, we see God on the throne, but then there's going to be this, I don't know what chapter, but there's going to be this judgment part where God looks at you. He looks at... He's going to know, so you can't hide it, the deeds that you've done. And not that you have to be, like, perfect. I have to do all this stuff for God. It's just, I think it's your true nature and your true transformation of how God infected your life, your earthly life, and how you perform on this earthly life, whether it's bad or good, whatever we do, whatever, you know, it's, but then God's going to see that we're in heaven. And then he's not going to say like, well, you can't go or you need to go back of the line because you did this and this, even though you said you love me and everything. He's not going to push you back in the line.
Are you sure about that? You put that in your question, actually.
Yeah, I know, because that's how I think about it. I mean, it's like, okay, well, yeah, or you're not going to get your wings or whatever. Well, no.
So a lot of the way I hear you describing it is talking about the works and the things you do and how that's tied in with how God sees you, right?
Yeah.
So does that determine your salvation?
No.
So what's the question or concern about how God judges you then?
I guess it goes back to that, my first podcast about sin. So
I'm just trying to ask more questions to get to what's the heart of it. Like,
I know. So broad. Well, I could behave. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection and all that stuff. So, but I could be a jerk here on earth, but
no,
you know, I'm not, but okay.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
We all still sin, right?
Yeah, all sin, and then.
Okay, so hold on. I want to stop us right there. So saying I can be a jerk is different than saying I can act like a jerk, right? Because the first one's more of an identity statement, right? And so I think that's
one. I am a jerk?
No, you're not.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm just.
So what I'm saying is a lot of times the enemy tries to convince us to use some of these identity statements to convince us that we're not who we actually are.
Well,
right. So if you say, so the other day, one of my kids was like, I'm the worst math student in the whole entire world. Right. And so there is an identity statement in there. I am the worst math student in the entire world. So if my kid believes that, then what are they going to do? Their actions are going to flow out of what they think they are. Right. And so the enemy tries to convince us this is who you are when really that's not who you are. Right.
Right.
And so I think sometimes when we say certain things like that, it's actually we're imputing on ourselves an identity or like a curse that's not really true.
Okay. So,
so we start believing things that are not really true about us.
So how is my. Oh, okay. I get
it. So if you think you're a jerk, then you're going to act like a jerk. Right. So, but if you think that you're not a jerk, then you're not going to act like
but
a
sometimes
jerk.
Sometimes you have actions.
Well, that's where God comes in. That's where Jesus comes in.
So that's where the sanctification process comes in. Yeah. Right. Because the sanctification process that we've been talking about in our identity class.
What right? identity class?
The class I'm Sunday teaching mornings. The class I told you that you should take, and you said, oh, I'll take it next time. I told you that. You should take this class. Anyway. So the way that we described the sanctification process was it's aligning our reality with the biblical truth, right?
Uh-huh.
And so if I say I am a jerk, is that biblically true?
No.
No, that's not biblically true, right? And so my experienced reality is not in alignment with the biblical truth.
Right.
So I need to renew my mind and align that with the biblical
yes.
truth, and then my experience will move towards that. So I might be acting like a jerk right now, but God wants to move me towards my true identity. And so that's the sanctification process, okay. is moving us from where we are today to alignment with our true biblical identity, right? So I just wanted to stop you because you said something that was an identity statement, and I wanted to say that's not true about who you are.
Oh, so next, when's your next class?
I don't know.
Okay,
we'll see.
You're gonna have to.
We'll see if they bring me back. Hopefully it was good enough that they say we need to have that class again.
Wait, is it going to be in the morning before church? Because then it's a lot easier to attend.
We're testing it out, but it has been in the morning before church.
Yeah. I don't want to declare myself on podcast, but.
Okay. I'll declare next time Carol will take my class.
But it has to be in the morning because I'm not.
It has been in the morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're committing her right now.
Yeah.
Right,
so back to your refining your question, what you're trying to.
About judgment. No, I'm just saying that so when Pastor Barry talks about heaven, I'm just. Because, you know, it's what I read in Revelations, and it's this whole process of first, second mm-hmm. judgment. Heaven, first and second heaven, new earth, new thing. It's a long process.
Sure.
And then, you know, Satan comes back for 1,000. Why does he let Satan come back for 1,000 years? And then it's like all this destruction. And then there's still people that don't want to come to Jesus. So anyways, that's something else. You got to read Revelation. Just service on Revelation.
But the question you sent us had more to do with. Let me pull it up here.
Okay, can I go on my next question?
No, because we didn't finish that. Even talk. It was. It's like God's going to judge me for my deeds, but if my deeds were not to his liking, example, I didn't obey or serve enough, then do I get put to the back of the line when the New Jerusalem comes? So, what's the heart behind that type of question for you? Like, is it a fairness thing? Is it there's differentiation between different believers and their outcomes in heaven? Or
no? Because I mean, the way I see the world, I mean, I don't see. I mean, even Mother Teresa, from what I hear, wasn't the perfect. Saint, you know, she did bad things from what I hear. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Sure.
So I don't know, but no one can answer it because this is what God's going to do. And so my thing is, yeah, I got to be better.
So that's what I'm like, what's your concern? Is like,
you're not good enough.
Yeah, I'm not good at, Well, I won't be good enough when I die. So I better start working on it.
Good enough for what?
Good enough to be in the front of the line. No. The front of the door, you know, through the pearly gates.
Okay. So why do you need to be
no,
in the
I
front
don't,
of the line?
I don't.
Versus
I'm,
the back
no,
of the
because
line.
I'm going to be in heaven because I believe. And okay. That's my. So yeah. I'm not worried. I'm not really worried about the other stuff because I'll be in heaven. I'm not going to have. I don't even think I'm going to think about it. I'll just follow with the flow with all the other.
That's what I think too. Yeah. I think all like any kind of like inhibitions or reservations that we have here, like, well, even about rewards, because that we had that topic come up during the Awe of God series too, of like, well, is there going to be different levels, different crowns, you know, like it talks
about
that.
Oh, yeah, there are crowns. Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, well, am I going to be jealous of something? It's like, no, you're not going to have those kind of emotions. So on here, it's like, well, what about this? What about that? I think it's the same thing as the first example I talked about, where when we get to heaven, it's all going to make sense. Like it's going to be like, oh, that person has that much of, because like Barry did talk about there being like, this like government structure, authority.
Yeah,
there's gonna be all this. So it's gonna
so
be
bad now. Why would I want? Why would that be a good thing?
Right, but if it's holy and pure, and then you see people in these positions of like, oh, that person is. So I hear it's like, oh, that person's over me. Like, oh, I feel like that weight of somebody being over me.
Yeah.
But in heaven, it's gonna be like, oh wow, I'm glad that person's there. Or I'm glad that they have that role. I'm glad I don't have that role. Or I'm glad I'm in my role because I feel like. Yeah, that's where I belong. And so I think a lot of the stuff that we have here that's more either comparison or judgmental or things like that, that stuff's not going to flow. So it's hard in a sense to get on the line of those questions because I think it does get us like into bad places and bad thinking patterns because we're taking our own fleshly kind of understanding of things and trying to overlay that into heaven. And it's like, but I don't know. Well, I'm kind of nervous about that, or I'm scared about that, or I don't like that, or I'm dreading it, or. Yeah.
So can I play John for that? Because he's the one that wrote Revelation.
No, because God gave it to him. So
well,
you're back to blaming God.
Okay.
Well, I think
So let's go. That's a good segue. So okay. have you read Miracles and Wonders? Is Historical Mystery of Jesus by Elaine? I think it's Page.
No, have not.
I have not read that either.
Never heard of it.
Oh, so yeah, she talks about, you know, in the New Testament and how they're all written and everything. So they take parts from the Old Testament and then of course of how they're living at that time. Mm-hmm. So that's their point of view. Or if you want to say God gave it to them, or because God said, you know, you need to write this down. You need to write this down for, and then, you know, he writes down everything about revelations. But still, he was human and. Okay. I don't know. Well, that kind of just because it kind of looks into, you know.
But then, okay, so there's a couple of things. Then you get into a slippery slope of is the Bible infallible or not? So if the Bible, if there's human error or their own human interpretation that's not from the Lord, then you're putting errancy into the question. The other, there's another aspect. I'm not sure if that's where the lady was going with her book, but there is still like genre type of writing. You know, the writings, if it's, see, what's Revelation? Is a
prophetic,
prophetic. Apocryphal, whatever. It has different literary like.
What
do you call it? Like characteristics. So not everything's literal. Not everything. So there's a lot of figurative things. So, I don't know if she's trying to explain that's so there's cultural things, there's those like what's the genre? So you have to take all of that into consideration when you're interpreting it, but.
Yeah, it's symbolic. There's a lot of symbolism in Revelation, but okay, I think I'm overthinking it, like always.
Damon, you were gonna jump in earlier.
Well, I was gonna jump in earlier, but then
we kind of moved on.
I forgot. Sorry.
Well, okay, so one of the things that came to mind when we were talking about the judgment part was I do think we can expand a little bit more on the rewards thing that we because I do think that there were still some questions about it after our last episode that we talked about it, and I've had a little bit more time to think about it, and also want to give a shout out to Pastor Sam because I think in his devotional that's coming out pretty soon, he did a good job of helping to give a picture of like rewards and the purpose of rewards. So kind of like Carol was talking about, there will be a judgment in when we die, when we pass from this earth, there will be a judgment, right? And so as a believer, when we're judged, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb, right? Mm-hmm. So the things that we did that were bad, they're covered by the blood of the Lamb, right? So kind of like in the Old Testament, when the angel of death was coming over the land in the Exodus, right? They painted their door frames with the blood and the angel passed over, right? And that's why we have, or the Jewish faith has Passover. It's to remember that, right? And so in a similar way, the things that we did that would deserve death, which is our sin, are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so that there's a Passover for that, right? And so we don't have to worry about that as believers because the blood of the Lamb has covered our sin and our iniquity, right?
Right. So I'm not saying that judgment is going to be a bad thing.
Okay.
I'm not.
So, and then, okay. So let me keep going. Okay. So one of the questions that we had with rewards is, should we be motivated to get rewards on or motivated on earth to get heavenly, rewards in heaven? Right. And so I thought, like I said, I want to give a shout out to Pastor Sam because when he talked about it, it was like, oh, that I really appreciate that viewpoint. So in the Bible, it says that we'll get crowns.
Yes.
Right? We'll get crowns. When we get to heaven, we'll get crowns for the things that we did on earth. Right? And so the question was like, well, should I be trying to get crowns? Because then it seems like I'm trying to be better than someone else or things like that. The way that Pastor Sam looked at it is when we get to heaven, right? And the Bible says that we'll lay our crowns down at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like the more crowns that we lay at the feet of Jesus, the more glory that Jesus gets. Right. And so when we're looking at the rewards, like we want to give God and Jesus the most glory. So when we're seeking after these rewards, it's actually these rewards so that we can give him the glory.
Right.
So then there's more crowns that we can lay at his feet when we get there.
Right.
Right. And so I thought, oh, that's a really good way to look at it. So it's not just me trying to look, I'm better than this person over here. Look at how many crowns I have. It's more like, wow, Jesus, look at how many crowns I can give you. Look at how many crowns I can lay at your feet and bring more glory and bring more honor to who you are.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really a good way to look at it. So shout out Pastor Sam. I really appreciated your interpretation of that.
Did it pass already or did it?
It's a devotional that's coming.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah I think it's going to be coming out in the summertime. So everyone should be on the lookout for that.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll make some type of announcement when it comes out.
But I think on that too, just one thought on the crowns is, okay, what are we actually going to be getting crowns for? Because are we going to get crowns for the things that we do that are aligned with more with our flesh? Like we're doing things because of
obligation.
You know, the obligation, or we want to be recognized, or we want like that. So, right. So it's, you might think, well, that person's doing more than me, but you don't know their heart situation. If they are and their heart is aligned, it's like, awesome. They're going to be giving more glory to God. They're going to get crowns. If they're doing it out of their more selfish ambition, then it's like the Matthew 7 thing again, right? Mm-hmm. You did all these things, but I don't know you.
Right.
So it could even go to that length. So it's, I think, again, like our sinful flesh taints things and gets mm-hmm. us to spiral into some of these things that, it gets us in a bad place.
Okay, next question?
Sure.
Okay, purgatory.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. Damon's bringing this one.
Okay, purgatory. So, my niece, she's Catholic, and she says she believes in Jesus Christ, but then, you know, if you go to one of their funerals, then there's purgatory, mm-hmm. and so Damon's going to explain purgatory to me.
I could
tell you my Google stuff, but
I mean, I actually think that what you had been talking about a little bit earlier, it kind of helps to give a picture, and I actually think some of the things that Pastor Barry mentioned in his sermon actually helps to give a picture of where the concept came from in the first place.
Purgatory?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. Yeah.
Right? Because even you said earlier on this episode, right, when we die now, we're going to heaven, uh-huh. right? But this is not the final destination, right?
Right.
There's a new heaven and a new earth, right? So what is the heaven that's right now?
It's not purgatory.
Are you sure?
No. That's what I'm so asking. I think it,
so I think that's where you have to figure out what the definition is, right? And so that's part of why the Protestant church broke away from the Catholic faith is because a lot of it is because of how they viewed purgatory, right? And because they were what the Catholic faith at the time was doing and what they had issues with was the Catholic faith was using the concept of purgatory to as a kind of like leverage mm-hmm. to gain wealth, right? Uh-huh. So they would say, if you want to limit your time in purgatory, you can cut off X number of years in purgatory if you pay us this money. Or give us this donation.
Penance. And
right? So that's what they were doing to gain wealth. They were using that concept of purgatory to kind of coerce or force their people, their believers, their constituents, to give money to the church. And that's what they were trying to do. So when the Protestant Reformation happened, that was one of the big sticking points. They said, we don't believe that that's the right way to do things. That's not a part of our faith. We're gonna break away. And that's what they were protesting. That's why they're right. Protestants. They're protesting the way that the church was using its power at the time.
Right.
And so this concept, though, of purgatory, of a place that's in between where we are now while we're in life and our final destination, that concept is in there. And then you had mentioned it, Pastor Barry mentioned it on Sunday, right? That there is an in-between. We're not going to go directly to the new heaven and new earth when we die, right? And
right.
The verses that he used were Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And I guess we could just read it if people didn't hear the sermon. So this is Revelation 6, 9 through 11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them. Right. And so there is this in between space that people are waiting, right? There's a waiting period. They're saying we're waiting for this justice to happen. We're waiting for, right? And so there is a waiting period in between when they died and the final destination, which is new heaven and new earth, right? And so I think to me, that's the concept of purgatory is this in between time because there is and the reason that it's called purgatory is because it's this purging of
impurities.
The impurities, right?
Right, right.
And so, for example, kind of like you had mentioned earlier, like if someone's on their deathbed, they live their whole life apart from God and they're a deathbed, they say, okay, I believe in Jesus. Well, so all of a sudden they're going to like flip this whole switch and then become this totally different person. I don't know. It could happen, but I think that's where some of this concept comes in is that there's a waiting period.
The other guy on the cross with Jesus, there's three guys. I mean, there's Jesus and the two other guys. And
yeah.
So I
think it aligns with what Barry was saying, but I don't know the way the Catholics talk about it and deal with it. Is necessarily full. I don't know if I agree with fully either.
Yeah.
Because it's a waiting, the way I've heard it before, it's more of like it's an in-between, like there's not a nothing thing, but it's not, you're not with God, you're not apart from him, or you're kind of like in this in-between state, but I don't know that that aligns with the Bible either, and that this kind of like second heaven that Barry mm-hmm. was talking mm-hmm. about, so I'm not sure that that is accurate, and I'm not sure that it has to be like a duration of you have to stay there so long before you can come face to face to God. Cause that's kind of the way it seems with the Catholic mm-hmm. Belief system. So,
well, Well, the from what my niece told me is basically you got to be a saint. You got to be a saint to be at the throne of God to get. To get to the second heaven.
Well, there.
So anyway,
the church has determined what the requirements for being a saint are.
Yeah,
in the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church has determined certain requirements that in order to be deemed a saint, which I don't know if those are necessarily aligned with biblical text, or at least our Bible, right? So when Paul is writing his letters and says to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Colossae, to the saint, he's not saying every single person in that. Right, because I think one of the requirements is like you have to perform a miracle or things like that. It's like I don't know if he's necessarily saying that every single person that he's writing that letter to has performed a miracle and done XYZ that are the requirements that the Catholic Church has said to become a saint. Right, and so I think there are discrepancies between what he's saying and what the Catholic Church is saying. And so I think that's where we really have to rely on what does the Bible say, right? So. Right. If the Bible is saying to the saints in, well, then it seems like in our readings that he's referring to all the believers. So all the believers are saints. So if you're a believer, you're a saint, which is different than the way that the Catholic would view it.
Right.
I think it highlights just how rituals and practices like that can, or just the religious belief systems can be tainted, right? And so we have to be careful just because something it has been there that we have to believe in it and operate by it. But, I mean, the converse can be, or not converse, I guess, but there can be also where we taint something that is actually really good that needs to get brought back to its core. Purgatory, I think, is something more that seem to come out of a certain, I don't know a lot of details, but out of a certain era of the Christian or Roman Catholic system. I don't think it was there the whole time. Are you going to say something, Damon?
Oh, I'm not sure if it was there the whole time either, but I think that's where some of these verses that we're talking about can get interpreted a certain way,
right,
and then extrapolated out and then saying, okay, well, are there ways to limit that? Are there... Right. And so in some of the discussion, it's like, okay, and then it just keeps going a certain direction.
Right. So just to like keep our critical thinking, our discernment, and really going back to what does the scripture say? How are these other things, do they align with it? Where are they off? And where can I find, I don't necessarily just common ground, because we're not just trying to find common ground in everything, but it's, how can I stay true to my faith and my belief system and not get swayed by things that really are peripheral, that really don't... Does purgatory really matter?
Right. You know? Well, I guess I bring it up only because, you know, my niece is Catholic, and so we have these conversations, and I always ask her, oh, what's this? And then so she, you know, we have these discussions about it. And so...
I mean, I would hope it would draw her closer to God, but I think the hard part is...
Well, she is close to God.
I know, but closer, like the idea of purgatory, but at the same time, is it coming from a place of fear, or is it coming from a place of works and earning type of thing? Or is it just, oh no, like we talked about earlier, like the crown. So no, I just want to be the best daughter or son of God that I can be, right? So I think it can go either direction. So if it goes one way, it's like, well, then that's not the best system. But if it helps people go the other direction, it's like, okay, well, that could be a great way to do it then.
Yeah, I guess the hard part for me is that, you know, she does believe in Jesus. She is a Christian, but, you know, but then she has these Catholic ideologies and stuff. And then, so then when I ask her, so what about, you know, so was it David's auntie died and... So I'm like, oh, what's purgatory? And they said, oh, well, we have to pray for her auntie every day until I forgot, until she gets accepted into sainthood or something like that. And then, you know, but we have to pray every day. And it's like, I gotta pray for everybody who, then that means, and do I have to pray for everybody that died? And Anyways, so that's mm-hmm. that's my kind of connection to yeah. to purgatory, and it kind of just sticks in my head, and because
I think that tied in with that, right, is the belief that judgment hasn't happened yet for them, right? So there's still this, there's this period where they haven't been judged.
For who? For the dead?
For the dead.
Oh, I don't why. I don't know when they're judged. It could happen right away.
Inferring that they're not a saint yet, they have to become a saint, right? There's some type of judgment in there that yeah. is still not happened yet.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't want to, you know, be all like negative on the Catholics and stuff. Like, I mean, that they're not. I mean, it's like I totally respect what she believes and stuff.
I mean, I think one thing too, in thinking about just the way society is we're always looking at who's out.
Who's out?
Who's out, right?
Who's out of what?
Who's out of anything. They're not in my group. They're not a part of my thing. That this belief disqualifies them from that. There's ways that we're trying to kind of disqualify people from things, right? And that's the way of...
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way of empire, right? And so, like... Oh, well, this person is not...
Well, if they're gay, they're not going to be in my circle?
Or...
Transgenders and stuff like that?
I mean, just that's the way societies have worked, right? It's like, this is my tribe, and if you're not in my tribe, then you're excluded.
Yeah,
right?
That's sad.
It is sad, but what I'm saying is that when we think of things like principalities and powers, like, those are some of the ways that those have influenced the way that we see the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's certain lenses, certain ways that people see the world that are constantly trying to put people out.
Right.
Right. Like, this is your group. They're not in your group. They're on the out. Right.
So we have to stay steadfast. So with God, with Jesus.
Yeah. So that's where we have to seek the Lord and how he sees the world, because it's very different and it's countercultural to the way that most people see the world.
Right.
And so we have to be in that relationship where we can see the world through his eyes, through his lens, because there's constant attack and tainting of how we see the world that's been influenced by these powers and principalities and demons and Satan,
right,
to cause us to see the world differently.
Right.
Right. And so certain things that we might think, oh, that excludes this person, might not actually exclude them in God's viewpoint. So let me kind of flesh it out a little bit more. So I was listening to our good old Jamie Winship, mm-hmm. right? And so he's someone that we've come upon that we believe some of his teaching's been really good, especially on identity. And so I was listening to something that he was talking about recently, and he was talking about evangelizing to the Muslim community, because mm-hmm. he feels like that's been a part of his journey, is evangelizing to Muslim community. And so he's been in these situations where he's evangelized and transformed communities. So there was a time where he was being mentored by someone, and that person was like, have you ever been to a mosque? And he's like, why would I go to a mosque? He's like, well, that's because that's where the Muslims are. So if we're going to reach out to them, that's where we would go. So then he took him to a mosque, and then at the mosque, he was like, is that guy talking about Jesus? Like, the person that's giving I don't know what the message in a mosque is called, but the person that's giving this message, it sounds like he's sharing the gospel. It sounds like he's talking about Jesus. It does. And he's like, yeah, he is. And he's like, this is so weird. Like, what's going on here? He's like, Jesus has influenced them. So now these are all believers, but they're in a mosque. And so I think what he was trying to show is, like, sometimes we look at something and we're saying, okay, they're out because they're this. But we don't know their heart. We don't know their relationship with the Lord. And because they're nominally something, right? Well, we have nominal Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christian. Well, do you? I don't really believe. That's just what my parents are. So I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, right? And I'm using air quotes. If you can't see it on the pod, on the audio. But, right, there's all these nominal things that we say or have about ourselves. Like, I could say I'm Japanese, but I wasn't born in Japan. My ancestors, I'm fourth generation, right? So really, I'm more American than I am Japanese.
Well, you could be tainted, your DNA. I'm, could be I'm, have some other.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure I'm full. but anyways, right? But I'm actually more American,
yes,
than Japanese. Even though I look Japanese, my ancestors are all Japanese, but really I'm more American, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we look at things like, people might look at me like, that guy's Japanese. Like, actually, really, I'm American, right?
Right.
So we don't know the heart, but because the way that the influence of the world, we're always looking at different ways that we can say they're not a part of
our things. Yeah.
And that's different than God's economy. That's all I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. is that we need to be able to see people and see things through God's eyes and not necessarily through the eyes of the world or the empire or the way that we've been influenced in that way.
Yeah, I think for me, in closing, it's a reminder that we don't want to worship religion. We don't want to worship rules, and we don't want to worship practices. We want to worship Jesus, right? When we get distracted and these other things, that they can have good parts to them, but they can also be tainted. They're not pure, that they can lead us into bad thinking, bad behavior. Not like maybe super evil or anything, but it gets us away from really focusing on who Jesus is, and that's who we're supposed to be aligning ourselves with. So like, even like the purgatory question, yeah, it's a different belief system. It's not a central thing to someone's faith of salvation, but they have a different way of interpreting and seeing things that happen after life. And it's like, okay, maybe there's things about it that they're more right about than I'm aware of, but maybe there's things that are just distracting that I don't need to focus on. And vice versa, there could be things in our faith that maybe are distracting to other people. So I think it's just keep our eyes on the prize, and that's one of the keys. I saw Carol fold her notebook closed. So I'm like, oh, I think she's done. She's ready to wrap it up. So
I think she's getting hungry.
Yeah.
But do you have any closing thoughts on?
No,
on,
actually,
on heaven
actually, and, this it went better than I thought. I liked a lot of your responses, and I'm going to have to listen to it again and look at the transcripts and, dwell on it. It was good.
Well, thanks, Carol, for coming on. I mean, you were very open, even though I was kind of like pushing you to come on. So, yeah, we just always appreciate you. It's always a fun time, and we always have some good discussion and good questions. I always appreciate your questions. That's one reason that we asked you to come on for this series.
I love the fact that God made you curious.
Yes.
You're very curious, and you ask, and there's a lot of people that are curious, but they just don't speak up and ask the questions, and you do. So I'm like, that's why it's fun to have you on. And like, oh man, some of these are hard, but this is good because I know other people have these types of questions, so it's fun.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I am very. That's why I'm so glad we have Google now. Because back in school, it's like, oh, I gotta go.
But you gotta be careful though too. You have to use discernment, right? Because not everything that Google spits out is good either.
It tells you there in the AI, it could be there could be some errors in there. So
or even what AI is spitting out, you can't believe everything it's telling you either.
No. So exactly.
Ultimately, you have to use discernment and go back to scripture. Does it match? But you're good at going back to the source. So
I think Catalyst has driven in. You got to read the Bible.
I think the hard part for you, because you are so curious, is there's certain things that aren't very detailed in the Bible, and then you're like, but I want to know. I'm curious. I want to know the details. And there's like, well, we just don't know certain things. So
So then I read other books, and then I find out. I was like, oh well. Yeah, and I understand. It's because it's like, well, when John wrote everything, he was a fisherman. He wasn't a scholar. He wasn't, how did he learn to write? And how did he learn to? Now, I don't know. It's how would you? I guess he learned, or there was a miracle, or I don't know. It doesn't describe it. He doesn't describe it in the Bible.
Just because he was a fisherman means he wasn't uneducated completely.
Well, no, but then, I mean, like some of them, Luke wasn't he a doctor? I mean, some of them were learned.
Paul was a scholar, and then
you had, they were educated. Some of them were educated. So then how did John, You know, John's my favorite now. So how did he learn?
You know what, Damon? I think it, to me, it sounds like she's ready to come back on another podcast. And she has a whole other set of questions that we can go down.
So I just figure, Kyle, if there's ever a break where we don't have a specific guest, we're just going to call Carol.
Carol, bring your questions. Let's go.
Since when she said she's on Social Security, that means she's retired, which means she has lots of time for us. So, and kind of on that vein, too.
And
right? And guess what? Carol is now on top of the leaderboard for most appearances this year. So if someone else, Trish, if you want to get your spot back on the podium,
wait, you're going to have to come. I thought it was Jeremy.
I just saw David raise his hand. He wants to be on next time, too.
Why don't you have a board? And then where's Jeremy? I mean,
Jeremy?
He comes on once a year usually. Yeah,
just once a year?
Yeah. I think this is your third time this year.
No.
Okay, it's at least second.
Oh, within 12 months, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, within 12. That's yeah, maybe.
Okay, anyway, that's still anyways. Good.
Well, anyways, Trish hasn't come on once this year yet, so you are on top of the leaderboard right now.
Uh-oh, that's a shout out to Trish. Well, maybe she doesn't have anything to say.
No, she's just more busy. She's just more busy this year. But I'm just pulling her leg because she said we'll get her on
this summer.
Yeah, she said the summertime she's going to be on a lot. So
find out.
Making it a competition.
No, you should have Trish and I
together.
That's
I like that.
That's
that
a good
would
one.
Be
all right, Trish. So sometime in the summertime, Carol wants you to come on, and we can have a really fun discussion.
And then Carol will treat you to lunch.
Yeah, I'll treat you to lunch. Sure.
So easy to get Carol to treat people to lunch.
It's not that expensive, really.
All right. Well, thanks again, Carol. We really appreciate you coming on, and we really appreciate everyone for sticking with us on this episode. Hopefully it was good for you. It was good for us as we discussed and dove deeper and had a really good time doing it. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thank you.